Well, good morning, boys and girls. The thing ain't fixed yet. I don't know what's going on. Oh my goodness. Everything's going sideways on me.
Testicle right. Difficulties.
Yes. Anyway, Fish and Frank here in the chair, and we have a new show for you, brought to you by the Fish and Frank's Experience Store in Port Charlotte at 4425 Tamiami Trail, right here in beautiful downtown Charlotte Harbor, Port Charlotte, whatever. And from our Fort Myers store at 14531 North Cleveland Avenue. It's right on the same road as this store's on, about three blocks south Pine Island Road, North Fort Myers, where we now have, mealworms, nightcrawlers, crickets, red worms, grubs, and all kinds of other freshwater baits. And we have frozen bait, shrimp, squid, sardines, chum, white bait, ladyfish, and mullet, which will actually be there by tomorrow, Friday. So anyway, all that stuff's going in and being worked out and doing a lot. It'll be all done here next day or so. We already have all those things, plus a lot of other stuff here at this store. And as you know, this is the Fish and Frank's Experience Store. This ain't no boutique, right? Well, Fish and Frank here in the chair. We got Captain Carl in the chair across from me. We got Captain Morris Campbell. We've got Robert. Yes, Robert is here. Yes, we all know Robert. Okay, yes, yay! It's Robert, and he's got hair and everything. I mean, this is just like a real event.
Harry
Robert event. All right. So, you know, anyway, we are here, and, you know, I actually need to bring up this other page on my other computer program to get this started off. So, anyway, let's – you guys have both been on the water – jeez, come on, Frank. Scroll down. Yeah, boys and girls, programs are all up, and we are starting up on the Peace River. Has anybody been up in the Peace River lately?
A lot of redfish. There's still a lot of tarpon up there, too. There's also a lot of snook running up by the San Susie Trestles and all your docks.
I've heard the whiting have started to move in just below you there between I-75 and Harbor Heights. Not great numbers, but enough where they're starting to trickle in to get some of the guys excited. You know, so it's not bad. It's definitely turning on a little bit. Water temperature's still warm, but getting there.
There's also big schools of jacks running the river right now, from 75 going all the way up.
Oh yeah, they hit behind the house. They'll come into the canal. And
jack attack.
Yeah, Terry just jumps up by the chair. What is that? What is that? Somebody fall in the water? You know. And there's just a lot of big jacks up there. So, anyway, what were you using for bait when you were up there?
For the redfish, I'm using shrimp, mainly. For the tarpon, mullet, and, you know, lures like bait busters, rattle traps. The jacks I've been throwing, you know, Zero Spook. Just watch them come up and crush the topwaters. It's great.
I don't think there's anything better than a school of jacks for topwater. I still maintain if jack would learn how to jump,
nobody would fish for tarpon.
They would be the most protected game fish on the planet.
Oh, you got to give it a little time. It's going to be protected, too. The way they're protecting fish that don't need protecting, the jack will be next.
Well, it's still very high-priced food fish. People always forget that, how high-priced jack crevel are. I mean, that's actually crazy. Working your way down by 41 Bridge.
I want to backpedal for just a second. All right. Some of the guys have been hooking some of those tarpon up there by the trestle on shiners.
Freshwater shiners?
Yeah. We've had several guys in this week buying freshwater shiners and hooking a couple of those fish up there and catching a couple of snook as bycatch, but they kind of dialed them in a little bit up there on those shiners.
So. All right, dial it in a little bit better. Is it free line, bobbers?
Both.
Sinkers?
Both. Mainly free line and a bobber.
Okay, so not all three, just two.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're looking at is tarpon up there hitting the freshwater shiners. Now, most of these shiners, you're only going to use 2-0, 3-0 hook on them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, most of the tarpon up there right now are in that 10 to 30 pound range anyway, with the occasional one that's going to wreck you no matter what. But that's the fun part about it.
Right.
You know.
All right. Well, that's all cool. Well, now, is it okay to go to 41 now?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mother, may I?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. 41 Bridge. How are we doing?
Some black drum running around there. There's also some snook hanging out in the middle by the bunkers early in the morning. There's also been a few juvenile tarpon running up there. first thing in the morning.
Then a bunch of those schools of jacks, too. Yeah. They seem to be marauding everywhere from basically that whole vicinity of just Punta Gorda Isles all the way up. And I don't know if it's the same school of fish or just multiple schools of fish that are just getting pretty rambunctious, but they're all nice fish in that 5 to 15 pound range.
Yeah, they're fun.
Okay. All right.
I saw some tarpon rolling up there, too, on the north end of the bridge. To the west side, they were rolling up there in that shallow water pretty good. The other morning there, it was really slick calm, and yeah, there wasn't anybody messing with them up there, but there was enough there to, you know, look around and see if you can find.
Okay, let's go back to across the river down to Lashley Pier. What are we talking at Lashley?
Been a few small trout moving in there, and some small sheep's head with a couple bigger sheep's head, but it's not gangbusters really by any stretch. Since snook season closed, it's gotten a little quieter there at night, so if you just want to go out there and hang out and play with whatever comes along, it's less crowded.
Yeah, and there's probably a reason for that.
Well, when, you know, it's a hot spot for snook fishermen, so, you know, when snook season's open, sometimes you have to fight the crowd. It looks like some of those photographs you see up north with the opening day of salmon season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just elbows and shoulders. I don't know how they do that.
All right. Let's go on to Bayshore. Anybody heard anything off Bayshore over there?
I have not been on that side.
Bayshore's been a little quiet this week. You know, a couple guys have gone over there, but I haven't heard much. I guess the mullet boys have been crowding a lot of the fishermen out of there trying to catch a couple mullet swimming by.
Yeah,
that's been the big complaint this whole week. So.
Yep, the eternal battle. And we're kind of stuck in between that battle because we rely on commercial fishermen to get bait so that we can sell it to the recreational fishermen. So, you know, we're always walking that tightrope between the two because we need the commercial guys, but sometimes they're a pain in the butt for the recreational guys, and vice versa. Sometimes the recreational guys are a pain for the commercial guys, because I've done both commercial fishing and recreational fishing, and I know what it's like on both sides of the fence. But it's not one good, one bad. I guess it's just the individuals who are, I think it's just like any group of people you get together. Some are a pain in the butt and some are okay. Let's go to the Port Charlotte Canal System. Anything going on in PC in the canals?
Jacks have been moving through pretty good, and that's at the mouths of the canals to all the way up inside. But right at the mouths of the canals from, like the Port Charlotte Yacht Club all the way over to the Port Charlotte Basin. There's been some redfish along the mouths of those canals, a few black drum. Obviously a bunch of little snook and some even bigger ones. Mangroves are starting to move back in there a little bit more, and I've had a couple reports of some sheep's head in there too, with the guys that are being real patient fishing around some of the docks and the big sailboats back in there. You got anything else that you guys have heard of?
I've been seeing some big snook in the canals by Port Charlotte Beach. Yeah. And some nice redfish over by Port Charlotte Beach too.
There you go. What are they catching them on?
The snook were just using lures, you know, big storm paddle tails, X-wraps. The redfish were using shrimp, gulp shrimp, live shrimp, bouncing them off the bottom with a jig head.
All right. Well, let's go over to the Elgamine Pier. Anything going on at Elgamine?
I see a lot of guys fishing there.
Nighttime is a lot of good snook fishing right now.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know about during the daytime, but at night there's been a lot of good snook being caught there.
It's been a little on the quiet side there. I mean, there's been a few sheep's head being caught there, but nothing in any numbers by any stretch. And then there's been a handful of trout on that incoming tide. You know, it's just, I think that water temperature's still got to come down another 5 to 7 degrees and stay there for a good solid week before those fish really move up in there in real good numbers. What were you getting for water temperature out there in the harbor?
I saw 76 degrees. That's pretty warm for this time of year.
Yeah.
It's actually quite warm for this time of year. All right. Let's check out the rest of that Myakka system. Anybody heard Tippy Canoe Bay, the Myakka Cutoff, Cattle Dock Point, the river itself?
A lot of redfish in the Myakka Cutoff and Tippy Canoe right now. They're eating crabs. They're eating shrimp. I mean, there's a big mix of variety, like big size difference there. There's a lot of rat reds, and then there's a lot of good size redfish in there, too.
I've heard of a few pompano on the outside by Hog Island with a bunch of small dink trout. So So a couple guys are having them, and then seeing some small cobia, nothing legal size, but a few small cobia cruising the flats with the occasional bonnet head. So there's a little bit of stuff happening there, but it all seems to be concentrated around that side of the river.
Okay. Stepping over. Has anybody come home to South Gulf Cove, or is everybody still gone for the winter?
I don't know if they're gone for the winter or just left again for Christmas break, but
you know,
I haven't heard anything.
Their fishing club was in the other day, and I said, "What, you don't like me?" He says, "Well, you know." I says, "Well, you never have me speak at your club. I speak at virtually every fishing club in existence. Sometimes we get there, there's 6-8 members. Sometimes there's hundreds and hundreds of members. But I don't know. I don't know what goes on. I never hear from him.
I've heard anything.
He was in the other day. And
I heard a report.
I was just, okay, so no reports. He said, you know, he said, okay, we'll have you out to speak. I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. I just, you know, so what I do, make you mad?
Oh, I did hear a report there. I was talking to a fellow that actually caught a 43-inch snook on a Yuzuri under the bridge, the little bridge that goes
right by 771.
771.
Yeah, that historically, I used to go up there years ago because I used to fish. Remember when those canals were so choked with weeds and
when
stuff?
It was freshwater,
and it was the fishing was spectacular there. It was literally some of the best fishing I'd ever seen.
Yes.
And then they sprayed all them weeds out to clear out the canals, and the fishing never did get back to even
a
tenth of what it used to be. It used to be you go through there, you would be constantly trying to clear your prop. Your trolling motor was a booger to get through those canals. But, man, the fishing was there was unbelievable.
Fresh and salt.
Yeah, freshwater, saltwater fish. There was snook and redfish and tarpon and bass and bluegills. And it was amazing.
I heard
back
a long
then.
Time ago there used to be some monster redfish that move up in there.
Oh, yeah, and I remember doing it. Yep. And
when I used to guide up in there, we would catch a nice large bass on a shiner, and the next fish could be a 20-pound redfish.
Yeah.
It wasn't a surprise at all.
No, I mean, it was literally a beautiful mix of fresh and saltwater fish all through there all summer, and then in the wintertime, the freshwater fish would all kind of push towards the back canals, but as soon as the rain started again, they would just all come out. But there wasn't a lot of houses. There wasn't a lot of people there. And we still had a lot of, what do you call, artesian springs where they would bubble up back then. And now with all the houses, and it's not their fault. I mean, we all need to wash our clothes and take showers and do stuff like that. But because of all the wells, we don't have the water bubbling up, keeping a lot of these creeks the way they used to be. Mm-hmm. So like Lettuce Lake was always fresh water all year round from all the artesian wells. There are springs that would used to bubble fresh water. No matter how much you dried up, it still would stay bass fishing all year. And now it's saltwater part of the year, freshwater the other part, because, you know, I moved here, everybody else moved here. You know, it's just one of the ways it goes down. All right, guys, I was kind of... Let's move our way down the west side of the harbor. What's going on in the west wall? Anything?
Well,
anybody been over to the west wall?
I've been going over to Target at Sheepshead. There's some really nice sheepshead hanging out in all those old oyster bed points.
Okay.
Some big sheepshead. It's also, you know, quite a few redfish running up and down that west wall right now.
Yeah, that whole side's, the red tide is the red tide's gone. And, you know, that whole side has just come alive here in the last few days. The redfish, snook, there's some really big trout. The trout, I noticed, are quite a ways off of where they would normally be at this time of year. They're sitting out a little bit deeper, and there's some monster bluefish running through there, too, out where those trout are at. The bluefish are actually eating silver mullet that showed back up, so...
You notice that the trout fishing's been a little weird this year?
It is. It's very warm, and they're not in their normal, and red tide, but the red tide's gone now.
Yeah, the red tide just, as it will, it just disappeared. So that's the good thing. The good news, the happy news, the cheery jump around, okay, happy, happy, joy, is it vanished again.
Mm-hmm.
It went back to wherever it comes from in the first place. Mm-hmm. What's funny is I get all the red tide updates, and it's funny. People don't understand that pretty much every red tide report I get says background concentrations. I mean, it's
always, here all the time.
Yeah, low to background. It's never gone. It's just either it's affecting stuff or it's not. But how does Cape Hayes? Is the fishing there in Cape Hayes doing any good?
Trout. Inside, like, Muddy Bay right there at Cape Hayes, I've been getting a lot of jacks in that deep water in the back, mixed with a lot of sheep's head and snapper in there, too, right now. Just using shrimp.
The shrimp seems to be the, you know, preferred bait right now. I mean, I put a lot of shrimp in my well and didn't bother catching any white bait. You know, it's still there, but, you know, in the past, you know, a few days, when you caught white bait, it would be dead before you got to where you were going to fish. So it's, you know, probably going to live now, but, you know, we're just doing really well on shrimp. It is December, almost January now, so.
Right. Anything else around the Cape Hayes thing? Any good reports out on the bar or anything?
Cobia out on the bars. Just look for the bigger rays that are cruising. And we picked a couple off of cruising rays day before yesterday.
Okay. We've also got some flounder off of Cape Hayes.
That's good.
A lot of them have been short, but, I mean, there are quite a few flounder running around right there at Cape Hayes Point.
Okay, let's head into Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. Is one better than the other? Are they kind of mirroring each other?
Outside, inside, with a lot of redfish, some bigger snook, some smaller snook, lots of trout out in deeper water, deeper areas. Some of these trout that I saw there day before yesterday, I didn't target them because we were catching so many redfish. But the trout looked, some of them were like 3.5-4 pounders.
Now, you're finding the redfish more out towards the open or up against the banks, around the islands?
Real shallow water right now. They were tailing, actually.
Lots of bonnet heads.
Bonnet head sharks all
everywhere.
Over the place. And bluefish. The bluefish, so if somebody wanted to have a blast casting plugs, they could just back away on the offshore side there and just look for them striking out there. And they're 4 or 5 pounders, so they're going to fight like crazy.
Okay.
Where were we talking about?
Bluefish off the
Turtle Bay. Yeah, I've been hearing some good bluefish out there in general. It's been surprising for the sizes of them this year compared to normal. I mean, it's still bait for anyone up north who's used to catching them, but yeah. It's an impressive fish for here.
You know, if the volumes on this while you're listening to it are messed up, something happened to my meters, and they're no longer the way they were. And I've been trying to figure out how the program changed, but I can't tell where the volumes are and everything, because the meters I've been used to looking at this whole time to tell where to level everybody out don't work. So we're kind of running off the seat of our pants on this one right now, just hoping for a little better thing here. Going out to the Cape Hayes Reef, what's going on at Cape Hayes Reef?
A few cobia running around. Other than that, I haven't seen anything really.
Yeah, it's been kind of quiet. There's been an oddball Spanish mackerel and bluefish coming across it and a few small trout, but it hasn't been gangbusters. Once again, I think it goes back to that being just a little too warm. The fish are still kind of disoriented of, well, it's December. We should be hanging out here, but instead we're going to go hang out over here because this seems a little better.
The double whammy with the warmer than normal temperatures and the red tide, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a whole conglomerate of different things happening out there. Makes it a little on the frustrating side. You know, especially for all these guys that are out there and they're used to, well, every time I come here, it's supposed to be like this. Well, today, this year is a totally different ball game.
That's the great thing about fishing. There are many variable factors in it.
Yeah.
This year's been odd.
Yeah, it's been a little strange. You know, and the El Nino, the red tide, the few hurricanes that skirted along the coast, it's kind of made it a little on the different side. I've told several people that moved down. I'm like, I don't envy you because, you know, you hear and read all these things about how glorious it is, and it's been a challenge. There's still plenty of fish here, but it's been challenging for anybody this year. And I tell them, you know, wait until it starts to stabilize and get back to its normal pattern, because once it gets into its normal pattern, you're going to really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because okay. It's really good fishing this time of year.
All right. Gaspereau Sound, Tailing Flats area, anything going on out there?
Willing Creek's got redfish. Especially on a low tide, I've been going in there, concentrating all on those deep potholes. They've been really funneling it, been deep sections of Whiting Creek. There's trout, redfish. Catfish Creek also has a bunch of redfish in it too. Those ones are a little tricky to get to unless you got a shallow drafting boat, because they're in the very, very back. Cutpin fish have been working good for them.
I've heard about some bonnet heads over there too, cruising around in that little bit deeper water out there in the more open bay part of it.
I saw some really nice black tips cruising around too.
And oh, there you go.
So yeah, the water temperature in the mid 70s, you're still going to have your black tips and little bulls and everything still around.
Right, and like you were saying earlier, you know, there's still a lot of residual death left over from a couple of those little bouts with some rays and everything mm-hmm. else. So that's attracting a lot of little critters, which is in turn attracting some of those bigger predators.
Yeah, if you're out there fishing and you see a decomposing fish on the bottom, that doesn't mean that it's a dead area you're in. It just means that, you know, that fish probably died a week or so before and he's just decomposing down there. Nothing really wants to eat him. So, you know, it doesn't mean the fishing's not going to be good in that area now, because the red tide is basically gone for all purposes.
All right. Well, we're going to head up to Placida from that area around there and the Tailing Flats, Gasparilla Sound. What's going on in Placida by the trestle?
Sheep's head.
Mm-hmm. Sheep's head right now. It's the time of the year, and you know, they're the first live fish that I saw back in that area after the tide.
You know, I think they live so deep that that red tide didn't really get down there 10, 12 feet down. I think they just hung out below it. That's the only thing that makes any sense, because the snappers were still there, the sheephead were still there, but any kind of surface-dwelling fish, especially bait and stuff, all went dead. So, anyway, Placida, we got sheephead. Anything else going on?
A few trout, a few bluefish, oddball Spanish mackerel, even been a couple nice, real nice whiting being caught off the pier over there, too. So, there is a little bit of a mixed gamut of stuff, but it's... sometimes it's an early morning bite, sometimes it's a middle of the day bite, and other days it's been an evening bite, because these guys have been coming in frustrated and excited all at the same time.
All right, well, let's head up the Intercoastal and look at Lemon Bay, see what's going on up there.
Lemon Bay's got a lot of sheep's head up there. There's also some really good trout fishing going on up there. I was up there yesterday. We did see a few redfish. We didn't get no redfish yesterday, but we got quite a few sheep's head and trout, all in shrimp.
Any other fish up there that you were catching by accident or anything, or see any other fish?
Not in shore, no. I mean, like I said, we've seen a few redfish in shore, but we ran offshore. We did pretty good offshore.
Well, we're almost there, so hang on to that. Don't let that thought go away.
I've been hearing of a lot of juvenile gags coming out from underneath those docks and right along the edge of the main channel. Guys that are kind of fishing for trout and playing around with some different lures and even popping corks in some of that deeper water, just picking up those little 10 to 15 inch gag grouper.
Okay, let's hit the Tom Adams Bridge as long as we're right here. What's going on in Tom Adams right there from the pier? Anybody have any thoughts? Anybody?
A lot of whiting, some sheep's head, a lot of spade fish being caught off of there that guys are getting confused calling sheep's head. And then I've heard of...
Wait a minute, how do you confuse a spade fish with a sheep head? That isn't even a remote possibility.
Oh,
I can't,
yes, it is.
I cannot see arguing that one to the Marine Patrol.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's got white and black on it.
Well,
just call it they're all zebra fish. And let's throw them into the zebra fish category, because there is absolutely no resemblance between a spade fish and a sheep head.
I came by there years ago when I was chartering, when I was guiding in Lemon Bay, and I saw a guy hooked up, and he is fighting like crazy. And he gets up there, and he sends down his little treble hook on his cord, and he pulls up about a five-pound jack crevalle.
Right.
Okay? And he proceeds to pull a stringer up, and he's got about six of these on there. I don't see how the chains are still holding on this chain stringer. And he clips this one on. And I said, "That's a nice jack. Are you eating those jacks?" He says, "That's not a jack crevalle. That's pompano." I said, "It's Jack Crevalle," and he says, "No, sir, this is a pompano. It says so right here in the book." I said, enjoy your pompano, sir.
Yep. But see, I can see how you, if you've never seen a pompano, and you know they're yellow and they're kind of shaped that way, there is some resemblance between a pompano and a jack. They've, you know, fish, and they got yellow on them, and from a vague description. But not being able to pick out a spadefish, which looks like a big angelfish.
It's an angelfish.
It looks like an angelfish. If you're going to confuse it with something, you would say angelfish. I would say 80% of the people fishing don't know what a spadefish looks like, but they would at least think angelfish. Not one person can I think of that looks at a spadefish / angelfish and thinks sheephead. That guy needs a ticket, but spadefish don't have a size or bag limit on it, so there's no ticket. But I think there should be a general just punishment involved for that one. Because if you can confuse those two, you really got to rethink stuff.
You'd be surprised.
All right. Maybe
it's black and white, and that's all it is to it. So it's the same animal or a different animal.
All right. I just don't see it myself. Even when I first got here, there was just no way that I could possibly have mistaken those two. I remember saying, "What's this angelfish doing out here?" You know what I mean? It looks like an angelfish. Okay, getting out into the Gulf of Mexico. Carl, you had Gulf of Mexico stories.
The offshore bite's been amazing these past couple weeks. The grouper bite, they've been doing better about 20 miles out. Been doing really good for the snapper. Porgies, grunts, all at like 10 to 15 miles. We also got into some nice sea bass the other day.
Nice to see those back.
Yep, we actually got into quite a few of them. The kingfish, they're running around everywhere. Been trolling for them, you know, bomber long A's. Anything that's a diving lure, that's what we've been trolling for the kings. Surprisingly, there are some permit running around out there right now on your near shore reefs.
Okay, how far out do you classify near shore?
3 to 7.
Yeah.
There's also been a few tarpon on a couple of those too, like Helen's and Mary's. I've heard of a couple guys hooking into them.
There was one caught out of Boca Grande Pass yesterday.
Yeah, I've heard of a couple fish being flown in the air down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Danny jumped two big tarpon in the harbor. You know that new Rapala, it's that big twitching one or whatever it is, mm-hmm. With the two single hooks on it?
Yeah.
He was using them for grouper in the shallow water in the harbor. He's got a couple of decent spots for shallow water grouper fishing. And he was trying to catch some big grouper out of those. And then next thing you know, he's got a guy on and gets slammed. All of a sudden, a tarpon comes out of the water, about a 100-pounder. And then the next guy's throwing. He says, just keep throwing. You know, he's going to be busy with that. You can catch some grouper while he's doing that. And the guy hooks about a 60 or 80-pound on the other one. So they had doubles on.
Yep.
And all on those new Rapala single hooks. But I think they're the twitching something or another. I forget what the name of them are. But
yeah,
great lures.
It's very similar to those subwalks.
Subwalk, that's what it is. It's a subwalk, but with the single hooks on it.
Right.
The subwalk, that's what I was looking for. You know what I think? I should have gave Danny to try out these big magic swimmers from Sabeel.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they're hitting that subwalk, they're almost going to want to hit a magic swimmer.
Right. Well, and he was asking about those old twitching wraps that were the jointed ones. He was asking if we still had any of those, or not the twitching wraps, the gliding wrap, I think is what it was, but the jointed version.
Right.
He used to buy those a lot. I think he was the only one that bought them, but they were incredible with how they swam, especially for tarpon and cobia.
Okay. So, Morris, what's going on now out there on the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, we fished out there early in the week. We had a couple of tailors with us, people that were following us going to fish where we fished at, so I just made a random stop out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and they just proceeded to put their drift sock out and drift along with us, and the other boat that was with them, you know, came by and started drifting, and so I picked up and moved again, and, you know, I lost the one boat out about, you know, 30 knots. It was a little much for him, but I said, you know, if you guys are going to follow, you're going to burn some fuel.
Right.
So well, we wound up in 118 feet of water. And we stopped on a little ledge out there, and after the first 15 or so American red snappers that we caught and released, because they're very endangered and there's not many around, we finally started to get some nice mangrove, yellowtail, and lanes. And we're catching those on shrimp and real light tackle, so it's a blast. And then we had some fire truck red groupers, you know, 14, 16 pounds, some of them. And
red grouper?
Red groupers. We had some nice gags and, you know, scamp. Had one strawberry grouper that was probably 2.5-3 pounds. It was a monster.
Yeah.
Biggest one I've ever seen out there.
Wow.
But we threw back a couple of smaller muttons that we caught, so we actually caught every species of snapper, because we did have some vermilions mixed in there that were like 14 inches long. So we had about everything you could catch there. We saw king mackerel out there. There were some blackfin tunas out there, but we were kind of late and coming in from a little further offshore, so we didn't stop and play with them. But I saw those in 60 feet, and they were in the close vicinity of a big school of Spanish sardines that were working on top out there. So, you know, they can be caught out there with the diving plugs and little small jigs and things.
Yeah, but you're looking, when I'm doing like the blackfin, I'm using very tiny stuff. You're using the big stuff.
One of the things that you have here that really works well on tuna, and it's totally, you know, off the wall lure, but you take the 3 to 4 ounce pink and white spro jig, put a little piece of 60 pound fluorocarbon on it, and just troll it along with your other stuff, and you'll start catching tunas on it. Caught blackfins, yellowfins, skipjacks, little tunies. We've caught everything but a bluefin on it.
I'll be darned.
Okay. Anywhere in the world.
Now, what was it?
The 3 to 4 ounce spro jig, pink and white.
3 to 4 ounce pink and white spro jig. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make, because I know they can back up and listen to it, but if you're listening on the phone, it's hard to back up a little bit.
That's right.
So anyway, I just wanted to get that out. Anything, Robert, you want to add to that?
There's been a few cobia and triple tail following a lot of those crab traps out there, and the funny part is all the stone crabbers, especially from like northern Charlotte County all the way up to Tampa, are crying about how poor the crabbing season is this year, because the octopus are just wreaking havoc on all of the stone crab pots right now. All they're doing is pulling up a lot of shells.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you
I've
catch
heard that
octopus.
From two people, and then Aylesworth was telling me about it yesterday. She said it's really bad with the Tampa Bay boys.
Not only is that octopus good bait, but he's really good to eat, too.
Yeah, but we need to hope that they don't learn to, you know, they don't get a little longer lifespan. Because I think out of all the creatures on the planet, that's the one that would severely challenge us for dominance. You know, if octopus lived to 5 years or something, with as smart as they get in their little tiny lifespan, that would be challenging. I think they could challenge us for, you know, supremacy in the water, you know.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they're quick, they're smart. I mean, they figure stuff out just like that. They're incredibly intelligent. So
if you catch one out there on your grouper bait, be sure to keep him, put him in the cooler, but you got to shut the lid on the cooler. And when you need to catch a big grouper, just cut one of those long arms off of that octopus and put it on your hook and let it down there. And
if you don't want to kill the octopus, you want some good bait, just cut one of the arms off, throw him back out. He will grow a new arm back.
Mm-hmm.
He's made to actually have an arm bitten off or get trapped in a rock or something and just go away, and then it regenerates. Another reason why I say I'm glad they're very short lifespan, because they could challenge us for the dominancy.
Well, if nothing else, they'd thin the herd and make it a little easier for us.
I don't know. I think they would put kind of a stop to a lot of the different types of fishing there is. I know I wouldn't be on a kayak out there going to go fishing. So anyway, let's talk about the passes. We've got a lot of different passes. Anybody heard about any of the passes in particular doing well?
Basically, Captiva Pass and Boca have been probably the most two popular ones that I've heard about lately. Been some tarpon in them. A lot of snapper. A couple guys are starting to troll once they're hitting the mouths of those passes and starting to troll, looking for some kings, especially as they just get just barely outside the passes. It seems to be where they're doing their most productivity with the kings, a few Spanish and a few bluefish. Tons of undersized red grouper and gag grouper with an occasional legal gag. And then, of course, the guys that are fishing right along the edges of both Boca Grande Pass and Captio Pass have been doing good on some really nice whiting with a few sheep's head. So it's been kind of a good little mixed gamut out there.
Anybody heard anything in the other passes going on?
Stump Pass, the outside bars, Pompano, and Permit. And some of the Permit have been really good size. Little Pass, Gasparilla Pass, Pompano, you got some snapper and jacks and things like that, ladyfish. But, on the outer bars, I haven't seen a whole lot of people fishing the deep cut in the pass. But
can you even get the big boat out of Little Gasparilla?
No, we couldn't do that. We can't get under the bridges.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You couldn't even get under the bridge, much less get out through. Because it's down to, what, about 4 feet of water on average tide?
It's deeper than that. It's, 4.5 feet at low tide. In the there's a couple little cuts you can go through the bar on.
So you figure average, you got about mid-tide, you're looking about 5 feet of water.
5 feet.
Yeah. So it's still pretty shallow.
That's shallow. It can pucker you up a little bit when you're going over that.
Well, in that boat, that 80-some footer.
Yeah, we don't go over that because we draft 6 feet. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're never getting over through that pass. Just while we're here talking about the passes on a random note, 1911, the average depth, once you made it through the big hole in Charlotte Harbor, or in Boca Grande Pass, the deep hole, once you get outside that, the average depth was only 11 to 13, average 12 feet was 11 to 13 feet deep. 11, 12, 13. So it's going to go back to that about 12 foot deep out there. How is running out of the pass now? Are we starting to see the sandbar collect and turn south, or is it still kind of going straight out?
They've shifted the channel markers and taken out the bell buoy. So they've done a big shift with the channel markers. They put them in still deep water, but they put them out of the deeper water for some reason. There's still deep water. It's just, kind of close to the outside bar on the north side of the channel, but
I think they're more marking the bar than they are the channel.
Yeah, I just run outside of the markers when I go out anyway. You can run on the south side of the markers all the way out and have plenty of water. That's not a problem.
But that was the last of the actual shipping lanes. It's no longer a shipping lane. Mm-hmm. So I think what they're doing is gradually getting the markers out of there because it is not a shipping lane anymore. It was the only channel we had here. People always talk about channels like there's something like when you're going into a canal or into a marina or something like that, that's actually a channel. It's not. That's just a marked waterway. There is no channel involved in that. It's not a fishing thing or a channel issue. We don't have any of those here because in order to be a shipping lane or a channel, it has to be designated from the government to have mm-hmm. that, and that we don't have any of them at all anymore that I'm aware of. Do we?
I think it would be I think it would be a huge mistake for them to let Boca Grande Pass close up because it's the only other deep water pass on this coast besides Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're not going to put the money into it anymore. That's done deal. That's over. And the only time that anything's going to happen out there is if somebody gets a contract for beach renourishment.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll just go along the shoreline blowing sand up on there. But they're never going to dredge that shipping lane channel again. That's never going to happen. So it will end up, in my opinion, looking like Stump Pass, Captiva Pass, and most of the
you'll
rest
have
of them.
You have a sharp turn to the south.
Yeah, the sandbar from the north will end up eventually going out and then spinning around to the south. To accommodate for the water coming down from the north, the natural current of the Gulf, and then the in and out flow of the harbor. But it's going to go back to what it looked like, well over 100 years ago. So, anyway, but that's just me and, all right. If we're going to walk the beach, and this could be Minnesota, Venice, Captiva, Boca Grande, Englewood. If you're going to walk along the beach, is there anything you catch while standing on land casting out?
Whiting. Snook.
Yeah, it's still warm enough where there's still a handful of snook out there on the beaches.
Handful of snook out there. You'll have jacks. You'll have bluefish. And definitely, Keep a few silly willy jigs or whatever brand that, you know, you have there in pink and white and yellow and white, and, you know, throw those, they'll catch everything that's out there, including some really nice pompano and little permit right now. And they're not hard to use, and you don't need any bait on them.
You don't use bait? I usually tip it with, like, shrimp.
I if I'm pompano, actually pompano fishing, I'll take it, and I'll just put the little pink fly behind it, or the yellow fly, and they just, we just crush them on.
Okay.
That's good to know, because I usually use shrimp. It'll be a lot easier not using anything.
Yeah, it is a lot easier. I'm partial to the ones with the little feather teaser connected to it, and I know a lot of people like them just plain banana jig. Silly jig is a banana jig, boys and girls. It's a walleye jig from the Great Lakes that was brought here back in the 70s, and now it's called a silly jig for some silly reason, but that's just the way it goes. So, Morris, are you a
That's
fan of the teaser?
Somebody with those silly Southerners are buying these things.
Yeah, it's a walleye jig, you know, but that's what it was invented for. It's called a banana jig. Do you like it with the teaser or without, Morris?
I take the little fly that's on it, you know, and I'll take it off, and I'll actually run it about 15 inches behind it on a little light 15 or 20-pound fluorocarbon leader.
So you're taking teaser off using it as a trailer.
Trailer.
Carl, plain jig or teaser with a jig? The jig with the teaser?
I tip them with shrimp.
So plain, or do you like the ones with the feather teaser on them? So you like the plain one. Robert?
I'm going to go right in the middle. I use them both ways. I haven't noticed a significant enough difference for me personally either way to say I favor one or the other, so it just is whatever one I grab first in the box.
Okay. So, Robert, I used to stand on this.
I used to like the original one better, where the teaser used to be about 6 inches up on the leader above the jig, and I seem to do a little bit better with that, but I'm too lazy to tie it up myself
so
to do it over again.
Retying it so that the teaser's in front of it, more like a love lure
like a
type
tandem,
thing, a tandem jig.
Yeah.
And Morris likes it as a trailer. Carl doesn't want it at all. He just wants the jig with no teaser and a little piece of shrimp on it. Right. And me, I like the feather teaser. I kind of do like it best in the new configuration where off the split ring you have the teaser and the banana jig in conjunction. But I used to fish it the way you did, where it was on two separate lines with the teaser in the front and the jig on the back. That's historically how I always fished it.
Right.
But lately, I prefer just the teaser and the thing. So we have four of us here. One likes it as a trailer. Carl doesn't want it at all. I like it as a teaser setup. And Robert actually prefers it, the original tandem setups. So four out of four, completely different. What this is telling you, boys and girls, try whichever way you think.
Whatever you have confidence in is what you're going to catch fish on.
But those things, but it also proves that that lure is so versatile and works in so many ways that all four of us can work it and yet still have almost the same amount of production of fish and the same species of fish. It's just an amazing, goofy lure.
And you mentioned the love lure. Here's a little trick, a little tip that found out over the years. You can take that pink head love lure with the white twister tail or just the white straight tail, take your scissors and go right behind that hook and just clip it off and fish your tandem rig with the pink head and the white, just clip it off just behind the hook, leave the little piece of rubber on it, pompano love it, two at a time.
Yep, the problem once you put the tail on, pompano are one of a few fish that actually come from behind to eat their food. So if you've got that long tail, you get the hits, but you never get the fish. So you got to trim it. And the difference between a bucktail jig and a pompano jig is a pair of scissors. If you take a normal bucktail jig and take your scissors, cut the bucktail, right behind the bend of the hook, you will call it a pompano jig. If you leave the tail extended out, it's just a bucktail jig. But that's the only difference. All right. Ponderosa and Sanibel, we give them their own special place on the map here. So what are we looking at, Ponderosa, Sanibel? Anybody heard anything?
A lot of big snook at the causeway right now. There's a lot of big hand-sized thread fins down there right now. They're all sitting there eating on them.
There's been a few tarpon mixed in with those fish, too, especially in the evenings and first light in the morning. So you can get down there and try them out. You know, I haven't heard of much in the middle of the night, but it seems like those guys that are coming back in the late afternoons have been trying to catch a couple around the bridge itself.
There's been a bunch of redfish over there by St. James City and what is that
island? Power lines.
Yeah, the power lines and Christmas Island, Picnic Island, all right there. There's a lot of redfish running around.
All right. Let's see. Next place coming up to Matt Lachey. What's going on, Matt Lachey?
I've been targeting the big sheep's head on the oyster beds. Also getting a mixed redfish in with them. I use a shrimp on a jig head for all that. The trout fishing's been a little bit better down that way than it has been in the harbor.
Yeah, the only thing I've been hearing about down there, honestly, has been the few sheep's head that are starting to move up around the Matt Lachey Bridge itself.
Well, there's some redfish up on the Smokehouse Bay shoreline, too. That's a real good place to fish the light jig with the shrimp.
There you go. Live shrimp, frozen shrimp, or both?
Live shrimp is
all right. Just well, let's move outside of Pine Island to Pine Island Sound. Now, the north end of Pine Island Sound just a little while ago was decimated with red tide, while the south end of it got no red tide at all. So what's it looking like now?
It's all clear from my reports from down in Yuseppa area and everything. Cabbage Key, flats, but, you know, the inside of Cabbage Key and everything in Yuseppa are clean now. There's still some dead fish that are decaying there, but there's fish in the area. So,
any idea what kind of fish are down there?
I haven't had a chance to get down to Pine Island Sound.
No reports or anything.
It would be redfish and sheep's head are your first ones to really show up heavy. I think the majority of the snook have been run up into Jug Creek and places like that to get away from that red tide.
Gotcha. All right. So rephrase this here a little bit. All right.
I like sitting in this chair.
Yeah, everybody kind of hugs
all
you
the
as
women
they go
walking by.
By
just gets a brush against me and grab my shoulders. It's quite nice. Morris is really nice. His mom raised him. I like it.
He may be a chunker cat, but he ain't stupid.
Right. That was good. Right.
That does bring us to Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals. What? So, Morris, you're seeing some redfish out there, or is that what you're...
The fish that I'm seeing that are coming back strong right after this red tide are all nice sheep's head and redfish. And, you know, the bluefish are in, too. I mean, the harbor's loaded with bluefish right now. And the water's going to get really clear after this red tide. I mean, it's already started to do that. But, yeah, the water will get spooky clear there right after a red tide. And, you know, it's time to fish now. I mean, the red tide's gone, and it's time to get out there and do it.
There's some trout on Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoal right now, too.
Okay, and all right, now that's going to bring us back over to the east side of the harbor, Burnt Store, Two Pines area. So from Burnt Store over to Two Pines, anybody heard anything?
Been a few scattered redfish running, you know, up there on the Burnt Store Bar.
Yeah, that place is just starting to get fishy again. For some reason, it took a lot longer for the fish to come back in there, but the trout are starting to move around a little bit. Most of them are still small. A couple mixed reports of some pompano, obviously the bluefish on the outside edge of the bar, and a few bonnet heads. But I don't know if that place just had red tide on it for so long that it took longer for those fish to move back into it, or it's just because of this funky weather pattern.
And, you know, with a lot of reports of small trout, but the larger trout that I've come in contact with over the past week have been in areas where there is absolutely no grass on the bottom. No grass whatsoever, and the trout are laying in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to look for. If you look in traditional areas where there's grass, you know, there are some small ones around in that area. But, you know, they're over sandy bottom. They're not liking the grass. A lot of the grass that I've seen, especially over closer to the Bull Turtle Bay and you know, the Gasparilla Sound area, a lot of the grass has that white slime on it from the post-red tide, too. It looks like shaving cream on the grass.
So that's just keeping the trout off of it.
Gotcha. That's actually a pretty good observation. That's pretty neat to watch out for. I like that.
All right. And this brings us continuing... Come on, go where you're supposed to go. All right, there we're back. East side, between Pirate Harbor up to Alligator Creek. Anybody heard anything?
I've been fishing all the deep holes way in the backcountry. There's been a lot of redfish in those deeper holes. They're a big mixed size, though. There's a lot of smaller ones with a couple few bigger ones mixed in with them. There's also been some nice trout in those deep holes, too. Other than that, a bunch of small trout on the flats.
Yeah, I've been some pompano kind of scattered up around there, nothing major, but those big jacks, a different group of jacks, because they're not quite as big. They seem like they're closer to this consistent 5-pound range, cruising up and down the flat there, on top of the flat, on the outside edge of the bar, too. So there's a good little gamut of fish over there.
It's just really nice to see live fish back in that area.
It's nice to see the jacks coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, that freeze several years ago wrecked them. The commercial fishing of them kind of messed them up. So it's kind of nice to see
there's
these little brief moments coming by with all these jacks.
All right. Well, that brings us right to Alligator Creek. What's that, the smokefish?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I'm leaving, so goodbye.
Oh, okay.
I'll come back, Barb.
Barb, don't go away. All right. Alligator Creek. Anything going on in Alligator Creek?
Mostly just at the mouth there, just with some jacks, a couple small snapper. Up inside there, it's just been so blooming warm. Those fish haven't come in there, plus the mullet ran through there 2 days ago. I heard there was about 25 boats sitting between Poacher's Cut and just outside the mouth. Yeah. So I think that's scared away some of the
regular
fishermen.
Any kind of trout up in there? This year they should be full of trout. It's just not happening
this
year.
It's not cold enough yet.
No. Not cold enough yet.
The pompano and trout really haven't moved in there yet.
Okay, so brings us around to Ponce de Leon Park.
Ponce de Leon's been a little on the quiet side, honestly, the last couple of days. I've heard of a couple small snapper and a couple black drum.
Yep.
But there's just been so many people going down there and just kind of watching and hanging out, that they're not fishing as much right now.
Okay.
I think people are just so swarmed with getting ready for this Christmas that they're not either giving us the information or just enjoying a couple moments going, okay, we need to go outside, relax, watch the sunset. Now let's go run like crazy lunatics again.
All right. Well, we've seen a tremendous amount of people coming in for Christmas gifts. I think in the last 2 days, I know I've spent 3 hours plus each day picking out, stocking stuffers for people because they're looking for the less expensive items, so they can put a little bit more stuff in. They're not looking for an $18 lure. They're trying to find something that's really cool for like $3, $2, And we've got so many items in that, between $3 and $4, but it's hard to find them in here. So I've been going around, well, how much do you want to spend? You want lures? You want tools? Whatever. And just kind of picking them out a dollar amount and getting them into different stuff and trying to broad spectrum it for them. But I spent a lot of time doing that. It's been a lot of fun because people really, they walk in and they don't know, should I look left or should I look? And they're walking around and I'm going, can I help you? They're like, yeah, I'm looking for stocking stuffers. What would you want to spend? Okay. Lures or tools or what are you looking for? And then just run around and go crazy trying to pick them out some cool stuff that looks good together and actually works. That's the other tricky part about doing it. You've done a few of those, haven't you, Carl?
Oh, yes, quite a few.
And I love the women coming in looking for their husbands because they know what they're looking for, but there's so much stuff and they're in a hurry. They need to get going. So they want you to go, Frank, just give me some of this.
And they don't want to mess up.
They want everything to be cool, so you just run around, get them the stuff.
Isn't it novel that a woman will come into a shop and be in a hurry to get it and get out fast? Only in a fishing tackle shop.
No, I mean, I know. I've literally talked to 8 women who just are over this whole thing.
Oh,
this year
it's
is
time.
Tough on everybody. They want to be done with it, and they're like, okay, I got these people that fish. I want to get them a little bit of stuff. Give me $20 worth of stuff. Put it in a stocking, or $20 worth of stuff because we're Secret Santa, or $15 or $30 or whatever it happens to be. And, it's really nice when they could just ask you and you go around and get them the stuff. They go, oh, thank you. God, I didn't know what I was going to do. And, even though most of them fish, it's just hard picking stuff out for somebody else. And I think because we do it.
You don't know their technique.
But we're used to picking stuff out for other people. But when you're used to getting stuff for yourself because you fish, you think, well, I don't know. It's hard to make those decisions. So, for us, it's easier. Okay, PGI back up in the canals.
Jacks, There's been a lot of jacks running those P-Jack canals.
That's those big jacks, too. Yes. That's those 10 to 15 fun ones. Pounders.
Tackle busters.
Yep.
Yeah. Swallow your lure all the way up where you can't even see it.
You just hold on.
There's also been quite a few juvenile tarpon way back up inside. Most of them pushed back in. They're so far way back in with that red tide, they're finally starting to trickle their way back out. So every day hearing more and more mixed reports closer towards the harbor. But most of them are still back in there a little ways.
It's nice to be able to see the water in there for, you know, instead of floating fish.
While I was paddling my boat back to the dock the other day with Mike and I went out to test the little skiff and had it fixed and everything, but it took so long to get the parts. I don't know if things went bad again. But anyway, we took it out. We ran out. We ran great, but we're like, oh, this is great. We get back up to right at the mouth of my canal. And that was it. And just on a whim, I had him testing the boat back and forth in the canal. Okay, go forward, go reverse, rev it a little bit, slow there. Okay, back and forth. All right, I think it'll be safe to run it. We probably won't break down. And I just on a whim, I threw a paddle in.
Lucky.
Really happy I did that.
Nice. Mike's a good paddler.
Yeah, but I can tell you, the first thing I told Mike is test running a boat. Remember, upwind. Upwind only. You never go out to test run a boat downwind, because then you got to come against the wind or the current coming back. I would rather it help me get home.
I did that one time. I had to throw the anchor out and as far as I could, pull the anchor with the boat, and then pick an anchor up, throw it again. Oh, that was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
That, don't want to do that ever again.
I have actually done that.
Yeah.
Literally from the Maca River over to Port Charlotte Beach.
Yeah, I was in the Maca cutoff to Port Charlotte Beach here a few years ago. Never want to do that again.
Yep. Nope. I can tell you, it doesn't sound bad, but tossing that 10-pound anchor all the way out and then pulling on the rope, getting it up, tossing it up. Man.
Are you broke down? Nope. Just practicing for the shot put Olympics.
Yeah.
Here's your sign.
Yeah. Okay. Gilcrest Pier. Anything going on Gilcrest?
I haven't heard nothing over there.
Been a little quiet there. A couple of those jacks have been cruising through there, but...
It should be really good along that shoreline right now, but it's just it's
early. Have you noticed
that
they changed with that since they changed that seawall over there?
Yeah.
I'm not getting nearly the reports that we used to.
The juvenile tarpon used to stack up in there. They haven't really done it.
When I first moved to this area, Terry and I used to live right on Retta there, the road that faces Gilcrest was our front yard. You know, it was right across the street. And back then, though, it was everybody pull their pickup trucks up, they'd back up to the seawall, all the families were fishing, they had the big kiddie park there with all the slides and the swings, and every weekend it was just a huge amount of families all there, and, you know, mom and dad are grilling, and they got all the fishing poles out, and it was every Friday and Saturday night. It was a big deal, and people catch a lot of fish doing that. And then, of course, we became civilized, so you're not allowed to do that anymore. But
you can't even have a merry-go-round.
Yeah, I miss the days before we were civilized. Okay, Alligator Creek Reef, the 1 mile, the concrete reef, the one up in the harbor here. Anything going on out there?
Been a few cobia running over there. Been trolling rattle traps, big storm paddle tails, those live bait, not live bait, the live target. Also, those savage swim baits have been working really good over there. I mean, they're not there in full numbers, but there are still a few cobia running up and down that Alligator Creek Reef.
I'd be real interested to see when the bigger cobia start showing up what that savage eel does.
That big savage eel?
Oh, my goodness.
We sold a ton of those last year.
Yeah.
Well, actually, not so much last year, but the year before.
That thing has cobia.
The year they first came out, because this last year was just a mess to be in the middle of the harbor.
Right.
But the year before last, they were just phenomenal on the cobia.
Right. Pretty impressive.
All right. Anything else on the reef?
There's been a few sheep's head movement on there. A few mangrove snapper also moving on there, but it's not gangbusters. It's still a little on the warm side, but we are starting to see a little bit of the increase of that.
All right. That brings us to the deep holes in the harbor. What's going on in the deep holes in the harbor?
Catfish.
Catfish and ladyfish.
Hey, they're live, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah. There's been a few mixed in bluefish out there and an occasional Spanish mackerel. There's been a couple of small black tips that I've heard of that guys have hooked but didn't land because obviously they were fishing with mono, but kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah, it was funny, right before the red tide, we had a whole bunch of king mackerel move up in the harbor, and everything was just off to an amazing report, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. All right, here's one of the two oddball ones at the bottom of the page. We always do kind of a bait report. Hearing about white bait.
Leave it alone.
In Bull and Turtle Bay.
Also around like Little Gasparilla.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, I haven't been using, I haven't used white bait in 2 months.
Pinfish anywhere?
Any grass flat.
Yeah, they're starting to come back real good.
East side, west side, Jug Creek, Devilfish.
Mostly down towards Whidden, yes. Whidden Bay area, yeah. And over on the back side of Boca around the Three Sisters area.
Yeah, a lot of the outer areas where you would normally get pinfish or don't have as many, but as soon as you get back a little bit from the main bay and harbor, you'll find plenty of them.
I've been using sabiki rig, tipping it with squid. That's what I'm, right. Instead of throwing a cast net in these cold days, I've been using the sabiki rig, staying nice and warm and dry.
All right, now to our second phase of this, which is, where's my mouse, my cursor here, all right, freshwater fishing. Now, we are going to be starting a much more in-depth freshwater report, but for right now, we've got a little freshwater thing. Carl, any freshwater reports?
I've been hearing frogs, topwater frogs, first thing in the morning and late in the evening.
Terry.
And then I've been hearing a lot of people using live shiners and, you know, Texas rig and worm. But and, freshwater bites, freshwater bites been pretty good from what I've been hearing.
All right. Morris, you got anything on bass, crappie, bugle, anything?
Right now is the time to get out and do it. It's not affected by the red tide. It's the premium time of the year. If you want to catch a big bass, a double-digit bass, this is the time of year to do it. The crappie are biting really well.
All right, well, let's hit the big bass thing. Now, how would you go about looking for that big bass?
Well, the two most productive ways, once the water temperature cools. Now, right now, everything works. Top water, frogs, like Carl was saying. A myriad of top water baits will work right now. We were actually catching some really good fish over in the Garcia Reservoir on the East Coast on top water all day long. Right through the middle of the day. They were just...
Any particular colors?
I like to use a lot of the old school lures. I was catching bass up to 5 pounds on the Head and Dying Flutter, which is very much like a, Smithwick?
What colors?
White. With black spots on it. Coach Dog. White Coach Dog is what it's called. Any of those colors. I mean, the Devil's Horse was the other lure that came to mind.
Yeah, the Devil Horse is the same as the Dying Flutter.
And, little different action, but same presentation. Mm-hmm. A lot of the twitching baits, the walk the dog baits work really well. If I'm bass fishing, my favorite one is Zip and Ziggy, and, it just catches bass no matter whose hands on the rod throwing it, it's going to catch bass. Yeah, and
any particular colors in the Spooker Ziggy?
I really like the black back with gold sides, orange belly, the number one, and then the baby bass color, number two, and just about any of the colors work though. I mean, there's not a color that I haven't caught them on the Ziggy. Just a little different action, a little different look to the lure.
Let's get into panfish crappies. What are we talking about crappie fishing wise now?
Did real well on crappie, just fishing the pink jig with a little pink tail on it, just solid pink basically. Little inch long tail with the little pointed, not the curly tail, but just a little point tail that comes off of it. You have them here in the shop. I forget who manufacturer.
Right.
But minnows, basic. Now, I didn't minnows? Use a minnow.
Any Robert, you heard anybody doing minnows? Are they doing freeline or bobber or anything?
Most of them are using bobbers, and most of them seem to be catching them in that 2.5 to 3.5 feet of water. They haven't really positioned themselves along the edges of the pepper trees the way they normally do this time of year, but once you find the nut of them, you're into them pretty good.
And they're good size, too.
And your wife was just at the post office talking to one of our regulars, and he's been bass fishing a lot up there off of Loveland and Casada and all that stuff, and he said the frog bite's been really good up until yesterday, and he switched over to a black worm and caught 7 fish in the 5 to 7 pound range.
Texas rigging, or
she didn't say. He didn't specify, I guess. So, you know, I think, you know, like Morris was saying, that they're kind of hitting a variety of different things. So don't just kind of pigeonhole yourself and stick with that one lure. Experiment a little bit. Don't be afraid to pull out, you know, a rattle trap, or even yet, you know, throw a 17mr Miradyne and see how that works for you. You know, try some obscure things, you know, the gotcha. Old Smithwick stuff.
All right.
Spinnerbaits, don't ignore a spinnerbait either, especially this time of year. That spinnerbaits catch big fish.
Okay. Well, now we hit that part of the show where we're wondering, did we miss anything? Is there something that we should have been talking about?
I'd say take advantage of your family and the beautiful weather this coming weekend and enjoy some outdoor activities.
I'm always one for taking advantage of my family, yes.
Yeah, enjoy your Christmas time. You know, it's important.
Okay, just come on. He's like, take advantage of your family. You know? It's like, okay, yeah. All right, that sounded good, Robert. That's yeah. Okay.
That was almost T-ball, Frank. Yeah, just tee it right up there.
It was
for
just
you.
Like, Frank, okay, we're good here. Let's take advantage of these suckers.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, I want a new car and a house and a,
and a
know,
pony.
And a
well,
pony.
We're supposed to get a new Mercedes for Christmas, right? That's what all the commercials
yeah.
say.
Yeah, that's right. Where's my new Mercedes? Hey, by the way, love, Terry, where's my new Mercedes? Morris said I'm supposed to get a new Mercedes.
It's
for,
coming.
It's coming. Okay.
Way out the driveway.
Yeah. I just keep looking in the driveway, it will appear, right?
That's like the big pumpkin patch, too, the great pumpkin.
Yeah. Who knows? He was only 8 days too early, you know? All right, never mind. Going back on to the different thing, we are doing Radio Fishy here. Is there anything in the harbor that we missed that we should have talked about?
No, it's been, I think we hit a lot of everything.
Yep. I think the big thing is red tide is gone. It's over with. It's time to go fishing.
Yep. It's time to get back out there and hit it hard.
The red tide's over. Get over the thought of it being around.
Now, has anybody heard of the weather reports? As far as I know, things are going to be pretty good for a while. They were saying we were on a big warming trend, and it's ever since I said that, it's getting colder and colder and colder.
Mm-hmm. Fog sticking around all day long.
Foggy mornings.
Yeah.
Wake up a little later just for the safety purposes.
That's right.
I mean, we've got fog, cold, damp, you know, I mean, all this stuff. And everything the weatherman was saying, oh, it's going to get warm, it's going to get beautiful. And then how do these guys
keep a job?
Yeah.
Well, they're all interning to be politicians. That's
they're interning. Political analysts. That's what they're going to be. They're going to be political analysts. They're both hitting about right 100% on both of them right now. So, yeah, it's really weird. But I can't think of anything we missed on the fishing report side of it. Mm-hmm. I am kind of interested. I'm going to try and get the little boat so I can go run around the river because Carl's been telling me about all the fish that's up there. I live right there. I'm really dying to get out and try that. That's where I was heading with Mike. We were going to go out and say, okay, if it runs, then we'll go fishing. Then it took so long to paddle back to the house that it just, you know.
The ambition wore out.
Well, you could have let Mike paddle, and you could have cast it.
Yeah. Well,
Mike, hey. I paddled for, you know, 100 feet. Then Mike would paddle for 100 feet. Then I would paddle for 100 feet.
Mike could have been the trolling motor.
Yeah. I thought about it, letting him hang off and just kick his feet on the back, you know, but...
If you're fishing the edge, he could just walk along and push you real slow.
Yeah. They actually dredged our canal a while back, so it kind of goes... You know,
but still might be fun to have him get off and try.
Yeah, it would have been fun watching him try anyway. All right, anything to add, Robert?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, we've got Fish and Frank here, and then we got Captain Carl, we got Captain Morris Campbell, and Robert, and this was the Area Fishing Report, which we've got to expand. I've got to get more of the Fort Myers places, because we do have that store in North Fort Myers, and it's getting very good reviews, and we are adding, we do have the freshwater bait there. I got the freezers ordered. We're supposed to be picking them up either today or tomorrow. We're going to have frozen bait there, saltwater baits. We'll have freshwater and saltwater baits there. And as, you know, we get it figured out, we figured out how to get this stuff in. Now we're going to figure out eventually how to do more of the live baits. But it all takes time and money, and I don't have a lot of either one right now, especially the money aspect. So, anyway, thank you guys. You want to say goodbye?
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Get out there and fish.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
All right. That's a great thought. Merry Christmas, everybody. And I really hope you have a very, actually, just a terrific Christmas. Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed.
Bye, everybody.